The Pastor's Heart and Dominic Steele, and today we talk to one of the world's most influential Anglican leaders. In fact, he's been described as the most influential person in the Anglican Communion. He's the Archbishop of Jos in Nigeria, Benjamin Kwoshi. He is the General Secretary of the GAFCON movement, which really is the future of the Anglican Church internationally. But before we come to Archbishop Kwoshi, our goal on The Pastor's Heart is to serve senior pastors in our common task of seeking the lost and building up the saints. And look, we would appreciate it if you could help get the word out about The Pastor's Heart. You could share us on social media, like us on social media, let your peers in ministry know about The Pastor's Heart. Just to let you know what's coming up next week, we're thinking about planning for Christmas in this COVID season, talking to three experienced church leaders about how we do that best. And then the following week, Marshall Ballantyne Jones is with us, and we're thinking about narcissism, social media, and sexuality. Now, Archbishop Kwoshi, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Dominic. I'm glad to be here.
Can we start by just talking about what everybody is talking about? It was Sunday last week that I heard the rumour that that you have colon cancer or been diagnosed with that. And I rang Peter Jensen and I said, I'm not sure if this is true, but I've just heard a suggestion. And before he could even hear what I was talking about, he said, sadly, Dominic, it is true. How did you first discover that you had this?
I think the symptoms were there towards the end of June, but I have a blessed gift that God has given to me of good health and just going around. So I didn't take it as anything until I began to feel uncomfortable towards the end of August. And so I met my physician and he checked me up and gave me some medications. But then the symptoms really didn't leave. So by August, he decided to do a colonoscopy and sent my results to a histopathologist, and a week later the results came back that it was cancer. So Gloria was sitting with me when we discussed this, and he then sent me off for other examinations with CT scan and all the heart and, you know, ECGs or EKGs and every exams that doctors would do to reconfirm. And all the physicians I was sent to all came to one result. It was a colon cancer. The good news is that it had not, because they were all looking out for spread, and it hadn't spread. It was localized in the colon. Liver was okay, and so they decided that they should go immediately to start on chemotherapy. And I will be going for two chemotherapies, then go for another exams. And if they feel comfortable, they will then go for surgery, and then I could go for further exams afterwards.
Have you started the chemotherapy yet?
I have. There's chemo all over me right now.
Right.
What's Gloria's reaction?
Oh, Gloria is an amazing, amazing woman. Amazing, amazing girl. I mean, I started talking about, you know, preparations for the worst, and she wasn't listening. She said, Ben, we're going to go through this. It will be like a malaria treatment. Just endure it. And she's been amazing. She's been amazing. The first week of the chemo was horrible. Really, really horrible. And we couldn't tell the children. I just couldn't. So, but I missed out my Sunday service with the children. So she took it. But the following Sunday, if I missed it again, they may get to know, and it will be devastating for the entire children and community. So I braced it up, and I was in pains, but took a service, went back, and then, you know, into my room. But in the last 3 days, I've been able to get out a bit, and I'm on my feet a little bit. Yes, Gloria is the reason.
Yeah.
I watched the Sunday service from Jos in Nigeria from last week on Facebook, and you were kind of jumping around on the grass outside. Was this the Sunday service that you were really in pain, or is it a different one?
No, that is the one. Everybody, I mean, I had to do that for two reasons. First of all, the news leaked, and it was on Facebook. And my son in Singapore, who's a priest serving with Bishop Renees, sent me, he said, look, the news has leaked. I said, my goodness me. And I hadn't told my clergy. And I had not told the children. So I wanted to debunk the news. So I went out and rushed, and we had a great time with the kids. I was in pain, yes.
There'll be some people watching us, Ben, who don't know your family situation and don't know, I mean, don't know the 50 children that you have living with you. Could you perhaps just, for those who don't know that story, just explain what family life is like for your house, and then talk about communicating with them?
Now, the family life in my house at the moment is 74 people. 74 children. So we're close to about 80 as a whole. Actually 81 as a whole. So it's a usually very lively house. And because of the COVID situation, we don't go to any church. We're so many. If we went to any church, we will outnumber the COVID protocols that requires only about 50 people in any church. So since the COVID situation, we then turn our house into a church, and we barred people from coming in. So we're not taking out COVID, and nobody's bringing in COVID. So
you're living in your own kind of bubble.
Exactly. So we've been living like that. So, and it became a church. I mean, a proper church. We have communion service. And very recently, I posted one of our pastors to also help us. And he's there with us. So he comes in. He's the one who comes in. I do communion and do services. Now, this is apart from the fish pond, the chicken, the ducks, the geese, the donkeys, the sheep, the pigs, the goats, the birds, the peacocks. So if you worship with us, you will notice that it's just not human beings. Everything is worshiping. We're all there. And this is my family, Dominic. This is my life. This is Gloria, whom God has called to bring in these children from different circumstances of life, from the Boko Haram of the Northeast, from the killings on the plateau, some from Kaduna State, killings in Kaduna State, some have no known family alive. And so there are children, and we're living with them. Now there's another set of other children that are outside of our compound with whom we have domiciled with relatives and friends, and those number over 300. So this is the family.
And these children are predominantly adopted by you?
Yes, they are.
And so tell us about, I guess, did you sit down everyone together, and how did that go?
I'm enjoying your questions, Dominic, because it's difficult to fathom. Gloria developed a thesis that she called reparenting of children. And the thesis has been adopted, and she actually defended it for a doctoral level in the course of this ministry. So what we do is people now get to know. So in various areas where there are vulnerable and orphaned children, they will call her. And she has a process, because she's registered with the state government and registered also with the federal government as a caregiver and a protector of children. So she is licensed. She's also licensed with the social welfare department of the local government. So sometimes the social welfare call her to say, can you help us? But at other times, when she's called to help or she goes out to help, she takes them in, because she's registered, she will go through the process, sometimes with the police and most of the times with local traditional village heads or district heads or certified leaders of communities, and they would sign her papers and she would take them. So she takes responsibility for life and living and for the future of all of these children, and has been doing so for 14 years.
When it came time to tell these 74 children that you've had the cancer diagnosis, could you just describe that conversation, that meeting that you had with them?
No, what I did was not to tell them it's cancer. I just said, Daddy is sick. And so they've been praying. I mean, they're praying like crazy. So I've reached a point where we will now sit down. Daddy, what is it? And I'll tell them I'm in a recovery process and they should pray for my healing. And this is the sickness, and it will be anytime now.
Right. So, but in the next few days, you'll have that conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to ask you some questions in a moment, Ben, about the impact of COVID while we've got you across all of Africa. But perhaps you could just start with, actually, even before we get to Jos in Nigeria, there'll be a lot of people who are joining us on the Pastor's Heart today who don't know about the situation in the Nigeria. I mean, just how many Christians you've got in the Anglican Church in Nigeria. I mean, over here in Australia, we've got a population for the country of 24 million, but you have almost that many Christians in church every Sunday in the Anglican Church in Nigeria. That's right, isn't it?
It is right. And that is on the census of Preacher's Book. So perhaps those who may not be coming to church but would count themselves as Christians in the Anglican Communion, that would be maybe a little more than that. And the rate at which the growth of the church is, we really don't, particularly for those of us in the mission field, the numbers don't matter to us much. We just get on walking. So there are many, many evangelists in the Anglican Communion who are just opening churches. Forgive my language, but it's a good language to say. They're doing it recklessly. I mean, my evangelists here are looking for pastors. And I say, look, you've opened so many churches, but I can't stop them. The Spirit is moving. And so some churches are not even on the map. I've just been reading this week my synod report. And the synod report on missions closed at March this year. Now, between March and now, so much has happened in the field. Some of the internally displaced persons who were attending Anglican churches before their homes and churches and villages were destroyed have moved into some communities and have opened churches and are asking for prayer books. Now, those are not captured at all in our statistics.
What's the impact of the COVID-19 been on your city of Jos?
Last month, Jos City and Plateau State as a whole was the epicenter of the COVID in Nigeria as a whole. This was, of course, it's in the news, the federal government COVID department just focused on Jos, Plateau State. But how and why we have gone down in numbers in the last 2 weeks, all I can say is God's mercy. And believe me, Dominic, it is God's mercy. Because in Plateau State, we do not have up to 100 beds that could cater for COVID patients. We don't. The hospitals are overwhelmed with ordinary diseases that plagues human beings normally, car accidents and all. All the two teaching hospitals in the city, the Bingham Teaching Hospital, the Jos University Teaching Hospital, are all overwhelmed with patients of normal diseases. So when you put COVID on top of it, you will understand that it has to be the mercy of God that has not allowed people to perish or to be destroyed by COVID. Because the rise of infection that fell upon Jos in Plateau State, we were expecting funerals beyond human imagination. But the casualties is still placed at less than 1%. And the recovery rate is very, very high. It's over 70%.
Now, in your role as GAFCON General Secretary, you talk to church leaders, primates of different provinces of the Anglican Communion. Can you tell us about how some of the other provinces, other churches are navigating this whole season? I'm thinking about some of the other ones in Africa, the Indian Ocean, those kind of places.
The primates, the GAFCON primates, immediately connected with each other, immediately, and they were praying, and we encouraged them to share stories from all, from Latin America, way down Argentina, to Australia, from Central Africa, Tanzania, way up to North Africa and Asia. All were all on platform daily and weekly, sharing news and encouraging one another. And it became apparent to me in the coordination of my report that the primates, GAFCON primates, were in the forefront of educating, preventing, and supporting those who are not COVID afflicted, those who are already COVID afflicted, and those who needed help from all over the provinces of GAFCON. I'm just trusting that in the next, probably before the end of the year, we should bring out reports of the primates, discuss with them, and you will see what each one of them has been doing. In Kenya, the Anglican Church of Kenya primate Olusapit led this battle against COVID with good hygiene education, public health education, support for the poor and the weak. The same in Uganda, the same in Rwanda, the same in Indian Oceans, the same, I mean, it's the same story in America. In America especially, I mean, where the funerals were on, Archbishop Foley was all over the place, traveling, encouraging, speaking, and helping. And the same also in the UK. The testimonies are great. But the one I'd like you to look at more closely is, while we watched what was happening in Europe, and this is Europe and America and Australia, the world health best, the best organized, the best everything in terms of healthcare. And yet they were having these numbers of casualties. Now, our cry to God then was, if you look at Africa, we don't have 1/100th of what the first world has in terms of healthcare. So we were anticipating the worst in Africa. But it would seem, in God's mercy, the little that Africa was able to do, God has spared us the worst and might even spare us yet in the days ahead.
So what's the situation at the moment in Nigeria in terms of churches open, not open, online, in physical meetings, those kind of issues?
In the early days, the federal government took charge, but about a month or two following, state governors began to adapt within the context of their own areas of operations. So in Plateau State, for example, we are at the center in the north, where if you're going to the northwest from the south, you have to pass through Jos, whether by land or air. If you're going to the northeast, it's the same thing. You have to pass through Jos. And if you're coming from the north, also down south, you have to pass through Jos. So it means that some who may be infected elsewhere, passing through Jos, might bring it in. So state governments had to now devise a means to cooperate with one another, to curtail it from one border to another. But we as church decided to move even faster than this government, because quite a number of our church members fall in the lower class, those whose main means of livelihood is daily income. The market, the artisans, the local people, those who go to the farms, and they are the majority. So we had to engage them in the rural areas through the church to make sure that the first thing was keeping the very high standard of hygiene. We enforced the building of toilets. We enforced in churches and in communities where Christians are there. We enforced the washing of hands. We enforced the putting on mask. And we had, in my diocese, for example, I had a meeting with all my doctors and nurses and leading physicians. We had a one-day synod, and we agreed between science and theology on how to attack these issues. And we were fortunate to get some funds. We were able to buy some personal protection equipments for our nurses. And we have two major clinics in the seminary, in the Christian Institute. There is a very functional clinic with a very senior nurse serving the seminarians and the community. And in the Zambiri context, there is also the Elsie Clinic. This is where Gloria has all her children in the community to service the community and the school. And then the two teaching hospitals, we have professors of medicines who are members of our church, who are members of this committee that we set up, who will be in touch. So we had isolation centers, two that were set up. We were ready. The government has its own, but we also had our own that we were dealing with. Now, my practice is common around the provinces of GAFCON in Africa. So with that, we were able, in the grace of God, together with praying and begging God, to warn the people, one, not to be careless, because if you are infected, tell us early, isolate yourself, so that for the sake of another person, you don't pass the infection. So we introduced this method of accountability within one another. And this practice has sold on. So perhaps God has seen that we do not have all the facilities to help ourselves. We're trusting in Him, and He's shown us mercy. So this is what we have done, and this is the practice you will find in most of the African provinces throughout the GAFCON family.
As you think about the future of GAFCON, how has COVID changed plans? First in 2020, we were planning to see you in Kigali in Rwanda, but that's obviously not happened. What other plans have been disrupted and changed as a result of COVID?
I think that COVID has helped us to think and ask ourselves and to look up to God to give us a direction. The GAFCON primates, I believe at this moment, are the best primates I can ever serve for now. I think they're just an amazing team of spirit-filled, Bible-believing, humble people who are willing to listen, willing to learn, and ready to walk with God. They are not disobedient to the heavenly vision. They listen to the Spirit. And as soon as this came on, we've had a couple of primates meetings on Zoom to look at the future. We've had a couple of guarantors meetings on Zoom to look at the future. We've had a couple of trustees meetings all on Zoom to look at the future. And it would seem that God is saying to us as GovCon, plan for the days ahead. And there's a plan in the days ahead that's going to be rolled out for the work of the Lord in taking the gospel to the whole world.
So I've been thinking about John chapter 15 and the Heavenly Father pruning the vine and cutting off the branches that don't bear fruit, and then pruning the branches that do bear fruit so that they'd bear even more fruit. How do you see that playing out in the Anglican Communion at the moment?
It is exactly what the Lord is doing. Because in sitting down in all of these meetings, let me give a summary of what I, as the General Secretary, have come to. Number one, we're looking at how to cut costs. And you will know that GovCon is a purely missionary organization in the Anglican Communion that is solidly established, but it is not funded. The funding is not much. So there's thriftiness that is being introduced in this movement like I've never seen before. And it is effective. But secondly, whilst we are all COVID locked down, God has provided this technology that you and I now are talking almost as if I'm in Australia. And God has exposed in a great way the missionary work that was before now hidden all over the world. I mean, I watch what Kanishka is doing. I can watch what you are doing. I'm always on Pastor's heart. I listen to the gospel. The gospel is spreading. There are people who see what Tanzania is doing, Kenya is doing, Uganda is doing, Rwanda is doing, UK. I mean, I saw some of these great ministries that are, one would have never known. One would have thought that the Western world is gone. No, there are great men of God and women who are doing wonderful things. And COVID has exposed the great works of God throughout the world. Latin America, Central America, Canada. It's all, I mean, the news is all out there now. Nobody is hidden. You sing a song that's good and somebody's ticking it out somewhere in Las Vegas or in Yukon in Canada in the snow, and he's enjoying it. And statistics have shown, even in England, that there are people who would not normally go to church but are now glued to some church services and to particular church programs and are listening to the gospel. What the modern world thought you would do with the media in propagating and promoting anti-Christian thoughts and lifestyles has backfired. But thirdly, God is pruning the church with the discipline of holiness. Because we are now brought closer to ourselves to examine our worship of God, where Jesus desires worshipers to be in spirit and in truth. Now we are fewer. The ministry is closer. The demand for righteousness is even now more evident. The need for justice, we are now fewer. So we see each other. I give a testimony of one of my churches that now has 6 services, none of which is more than 80. And the enthusiasm of the Christians now to hear God's word is now greater, and God's word is getting deeper in a country like ours, where truth is in dire need and justice is the cry of the heart, and righteousness is what we want to see in all of life, in the institutions, in the marketplace, and everywhere. So now the teaching is getting deeper. And I believe that God is cutting off those things that are unnecessary, that have been attached and making the gospel confused, and now with COVID is getting clearer. Before I end, let me tell you another thing. There is a tradition that has come into the church, in our churches, which are totally unnecessary in worship. But right now, there's no time to bring those kinds of things in. So when you come to worship, you're looking for God, and all of the things are just cut out. The word of God, hymns and praise and prayer, and then we go off breaking bread.
Ben, thanks so much for talking to us today. I wonder whether we might just pray for you as we wrap up. Our Father God, you are compassionate and kind, and we pray that you might show mercy and compassion on all who are struggling this day with cancer. We pray particularly for Archbishop Ben. We pray for those who are groaning in the pain of illness and those suffering through the pain of treatment. Lord, help them to cast their cares on you. Assure them of your presence in their struggles. And we pray for healing by the power of your love through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you, with the Holy Spirit, one God, for now and evermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Archbishop Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dominic. Thank you so much.
Ben Kwoshi on the line there from Jos in Nigeria. He's the Archbishop of Jos, and of course he is the General Secretary of the GAFCON movement in World Anglicanism. A reminder, next week on The Pastor's Heart, we're thinking about how to plan for Christmas in COVID, and the following week, that tricky subject of narcissism, social media and sexuality with Marshall Ballantyne Jones joining us. We'll look forward to catching you then.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.